Hey everyone, welcome back to PS I'm Single. It's your girl Trish. Today's episode is This Is Us Part 2. I have Mike and Mason here joining me today, and they're going to tell me a little bit about their journey from younger them to grown men them. Hey guys.
Hey.
What's up?
How are you?
I'm good today. I'm good. We had a little bit of technical difficulties that wasn't really technical difficulties because somebody didn't hid the mouse and the keyboard behind a new mouse and a keyboard.
Right.
But
it only took three other people to figure it out.
Right. It's all right. But we figured it out and we here.
Yes, we here.
All right, so you guys are in a relationship. How long have you guys been together?
A little over 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years.
That's a long time.
It is.
Well, where did y'all meet?
In a good...
Why are you saying it like that?
Look, they ready to fight.
Okay, so how we met is actually is complicated, right?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, so basically, we worked together.
Really?
Yeah.
Office Bay?
But it didn't start off like that, of course.
Okay.
The reason it's complicated because we worked together, but we worked together for our church.
Oh.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we were friends. We worked good together. When I came in, I met him. When I came in, I met Mike.
Right. I was working.
We were the only two people in that office that were pretty much kind of allowed to touch the money and stuff like that and spend it. So we worked together a lot.
Y'all was scamming.
Nah.
I'm just making sure. You'd
be surprised. No, but look, you'd be surprised what goes on, you know, behind closed doors in church. That's a whole nother episode.
Oh, God.
You need another hour for that one.
So, but we ended up working together closely, and I was like, wait, he's kind of smart, you know, and for me, that is like a huge turn on.
Okay.
But I wasn't going in like, oh, he's smart and he fine. Like, nah,
right.
I wasn't nothing like
right,
that.
Right.
But that's how we met at church.
Yeah. And then for me, it was. You know, he made me feel comfortable. Like I'm typically uncomfortable around a lot of people.
So okay.
For someone just meeting them, it just makes me feel like, you know, I can be silly, say weird things or whatever, and he's cool with it. So it was like, that's how a friendship fostered in that, because I didn't have to like filter myself around him.
Okay. You felt you can be 100% yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's how a lot of good relationships start. I feel like relationships are built off of friendships. And as friends, we should be comfortable enough to say or do anything around each other, be our natural selves.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
it makes it easier to transition into a relationship.
Yeah.
So let's get into it because I...
Okay.
I know you guys are like from like a religious background, like a super religious background.
So.
How was that? Being in the church and you worked with the church, and then you both being gay. Like, how?
Oh, gay? That is such a hard... Gay? Who in here gay?
I'm sorry.
You just came
queer?
Out and being gay.
Like, queer?
We're kidding. We're teasing you. We're messing with you.
Oh, look. See, now.
Like, who the fuck you calling gay? Like,
you don't even know.
Right. Okay. So, when we met, we weren't out.
Okay. Really?
Nah. Like, I had never had a boyfriend. I had never been in a relationship with another guy. At the most, I had talked to guys and had messed around. And
okay.
That was like, I would go out and I went out on dates or went out and hung out with guys or whatever. But at the same time, because we were born and raised, our lives revolved around the church.
Right. Okay.
So, and that's how we were born and raised as well. So, I wouldn't say DL. I guess I was discreet. That's the difference.
Yeah,
I was discreet.
Discreet is the best way to
However,
it.
At the same time, I was still trying to hold this position as if I was like still interested in women and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And when we realized we wanted something more.
Right.
We were like, okay, we'll just do this now.
Right.
It'll probably
saw it as a phase.
Yeah, we saw it as a phase. And we're like, we'll just do this as long. And then as soon as one of us meets a girl or whatever, we'll get married. Hell, I'll be the best man in your wedding type
right.
thing.
Really?
Yeah. No, we did not intend to actually be together. It was a friendship that led to more, you know. We realized, okay, it's a little bit more than friendship. This is fun. We like this. Like, let's live, let's be young, enjoy it while it lasts, because we know this isn't going to last forever.
Because it was impossible. Like,
right.
We couldn't see
it. It wasn't an option.
It was definitely not an option.
It was not an option.
Now, I know you said you're from the South. Where in the South?
I'm from Mason, that is, speaking. Yes. I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
And me, Mike, I am from Augusta, Georgia.
Okay.
And we ended up, how we met is because we worked in D.C.
Okay.
I went to D.C. to go to Howard, graduated, okay. Stayed there. He moved to D.C. for other reasons. The headquarters of our church is there. Our church is located all throughout the United States. So it's like when you leave, no matter where you go, like I'm from North Carolina, I moved to D.C., I go to the church here in D.C. Your whole right. family goes to the church. It's like generations and generations. I'm like fourth generation.
Okay. Right.
And our families have held positions, so people know who we are.
Wow.
And then when we worked for the church, you know, I worked for the church, he worked for the church, my sister worked for the church.
It's a family thing.
It was a whole family thing. We had direct contact with the bishop, all that type of stuff. So it was like not like I was a janitor that swept floors, mopped the kitchen
right.
or whatever.
No.
It was
right.
like, no, we...
It was
important
positions.
People knew who we were. You know,
had
yeah.
rank.
So,
you had rank yeah, in no. the church.
And in that world, you can get caught up.
Right, because you know, there's something about you know. That dynamic of having enough authority when you walk into a room of so-called, like, neither one of us were preachers. So we had the authority where we would walk into a room of preachers, and they had to respect what we had to say.
Really?
Because on certain things, because we controlled the purse strings on certain things.
Okay.
So, yeah, sometimes that can be addictive, and it felt good, so you were thinking, like...
you have power, you're like, well, right. okay, no, I'm not maybe living my best life or living my dream or what I really want to do, but at least I'm somebody in this world.
Right.
And it was never with malicious intent either.
Right, right, right.
We
right.
never wanted to steal from the church. It wasn't like that.
Yeah,
we wanted the best
We
for
worked together
church.
Hard to make yeah. sure everything was always on up and up because we saw right. a lot of things that weren't on up and up going
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
A lot
so we're
of scamming.
Like, don't stop calling it scam.
My bad.
I'll just say people looking out.
Things going
yeah,
on
I'll say
thing.
People looking out for themselves. Like they were in that position for the wrong reasons.
Okay.
Right. I'll say that.
All right. Where do I even start? Okay, so I'm shocked at the fact that you said both of you weren't out at the time that you decided to get mm-hmm. together. So at what point, if you can remember and think back to like your childhood, at what point did you realize that you were attracted to the same sex?
Oh, wow.
For me, I was in high school.
Okay.
Yeah, it was, because I grew up still liking girls. It was really weird because I was always different. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say I was the masking guy. I had a little sugar. I was a little sweet.
Okay.
I was always a little sweet. But I did my best to mask it and cover it up. I tried to be as normal as I could.
Okay. What's normal, though?
Play sports. Mm-hmm. I played basketball, you know, with other neighborhood kids, rode bikes, did all that stuff. I acted like I was interested in sports more than I probably was.
Okay.
Reality, I wanted to draw, sing, play piano, play instruments, I wanted to do those type of things.
Okay.
So that's what normal was. All those things that I wanted to do, that was all the artsy and creative things, that's not normal. It's at least not down south for a little black boy.
Down south, like, my family the same way. They tell you not to get involved with some type of sport. Like, even if you don't play it in school, play with the kids in the community, on the street, play street ball, whatever.
Right.
You had to be involved in something that was athletic. So for me, the first time I realized I was, the first time I noticed myself looking at another guy, it was like eighth grade going into high school. Whatever.
Okay.
I was in the locker room for gym class, and I just noticed that, you know, you look over at the other guys, everybody's bodies are starting to develop, and it's like, oh, no, I can't be looking at him like that. One, I'm like, I'm not trying to get beat up, but it's like, but why did I like that?
Right.
But that first feeling, you suppress it for a minute, and I thought I was calling myself a creative person. I went to a high school that didn't have sports.
Okay.
Traditionally, it was a health science and engineering magnet school, so we focused on health and biology and engineering technology, that kind of stuff. So,
okay.
You know, that's the kind of stuff we did, so I was like, you know what? So all of us were a little bit different anyway.
Right.
So I did have that going for me. So I got away with just saying, you know, I'm just different. I'm a little bit different. But I didn't really know what that meant until a few years later.
Until afterwards.
Yeah.
So what were your, both of you, what were your first experiences with?
Mine was terrible.
Wow. How old were you?
22.
Okay.
You're talking with a guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 22.
You had experiences with a girl, too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, both of us.
Sex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I pleased my prom date very well.
I mean, do you want to be real? Can we be real for a moment? So, like,
we have to be real, real,
yeah.
real.
At least for me, I'll speak for myself.
Okay.
I feel like I'm a very fluid person. Like,
okay.
I've come to this realization that yeah, I'm mostly gay, but I'm not saying I couldn't be with a girl.
Got it.
I don't think it's more, I think it's less about the sex and more about the person. I'm really into the personality, intelligence. If we have a good conversation and you're cool, and if you, hey, if you introduce me to a new song or new artist I've never heard of and I love them, oh my God, I'm in love with you.
Okay.
It's that type of thing.
Okay.
And then all the other stuff comes after. Like, of course, I want to be attracted to you, but
right.
I can fall for the funniest looking people just because they make me laugh or they challenge my thinking or something like that.
You go based off the vibe.
Mm-hmm. That's it, the vibe. Because if I don't vibe with you out of the bedroom, we ain't going to be vibing in the bedroom.
In the bedroom.
Right. Right.
True.
You're not going to be in sync. So, yeah, we've been with girls. My high school sweetheart, her name... Well, I'm not going to mention her name anymore.
No, please don't. She be up here with a knife.
Yeah, no, we still talk. Like,
That's what I'm saying. She be up here for me with her.
We went to prom together and everything. I called her the day before she got married.
Uh-huh.
I think me and you had been together for years before I even told her about myself. And I finally broke down and told her.
And he was still nervous about it,
I was really nervous. Yeah. And the crazy thing was, I was like, when I told her, I was like, you probably already know this. I mean, it's probably obvious, but hey, you know, I'm really shit with a guy.
What was her reaction?
She was cool.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
We've grown a lot over the years. Like, she grew up in the church with me too.
Okay.
So I think it feels like our generation was born in the 80s, grew up in the 90s. We're different because we're like our first generation, maybe be the first to go to college in our families. So we're all raised super religious. So there's certain things that we're seeing as taboo and we're trying it. We're going out there in the world and doing this. And we're realizing, hey, this isn't that bad. This is not evil. Doing this will not make you go to hell.
Right.
Stuff like that. So,
and I think too, for us, I think our age group, our generation is the last to not have been exposed to everything that's out there, the internet, basically. Like, we still grew up in a time where what you knew to be okay and safe or whatever is what you're surrounded by. So if you're surrounded by church or really conservative people, that's all you know. But the kids that are growing up now, they're exposed to everything by way of the internet. So they know that there's other people that are in similar situations as them.
Yes.
So they feel more comfortable. We didn't have that.
Oh, yeah. I hated myself for years. I think I'm just not getting to the point where I don't hate myself. Like,
wow.
That's how, because you're programmed. So you have to deprogram yourself. But if you've been programming for like 20 years plus, you're not going to be able to deprogram overnight.
Right.
So it took me a long time to even accept myself and be like, look, you're okay. You're good. You're a good person. You're not going to die and burn in hell.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, all that stuff because...
Is this what they're saying in church?
Yeah, no, that's what... I accepted that.
My mom told me I was going to burn in hell for being gay.
Yeah.
All right, wait. Wait. Okay. So... How old were you when you came out to your families?
We never came out.
You didn't.
We were outed.
You were outed?
Yeah. At church.
What?
At church, bud.
Can y'all, wait, how? Somebody saw y'all or like.
So basically people were noticing we were hanging out together.
Got it.
And like they could never say, like, this is what it was. We were very respectful. Like, at the end of the day, it was like, well, you know, you can't change a church. You can't come in there and be all gay and flamboyant. So
right. And we weren't going to. We didn't want to try.
Yeah, that's not even us anyway.
Right.
But still, not to knock anybody who is. It's just not us. But,
that's not you. Yeah.
Right. But we were very respectful. But people saw us together. And they started putting two and two together.
They started speculating, really.
Speculating, because even at the point we were out, it was not to the level that people thought it was or people were saying it was.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that experience was... very traumatic.
Right.
Because church is all you know. If that's your world and you've given your life you think you're giving your life to God, you know,
right.
Because I come out of college and I go to work for the church. I could be doing anything else.
Yeah.
But I go to work for the church, you know, and I felt alone, abandoned. I was already, you know, struggling with sexuality as it was. Both of us were.
Yeah.
Because we weren't out, for one, and we talking about we're going to get married and shit to women, you know, so apparently
right. Yeah, made like
something
a pack.
Was not connecting
yeah.
in our brain. So it's right. like, we were. I know we were both struggling with depression, anxiety, all that type of stuff. And then that just, when that happened,
it was devastating.
It was devastating. I was like, you know what? Fuck. I was like, there is no God. There is nobody to help me. Nobody cares about me.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I mean, you gave up on everything because everything you had been taught and what is built up on your foundation was just destroyed.
It turned against you.
And you feel like God don't even love you because it's all you know. So it's like years of depression. I had, you know, for me, I attempted to take my life a couple times. And after that, I remember those years, the years following after that, we were together. The crazy thing was, people were doing all this, but all I did was push us together.
Right.
Because all we had was each other.
All you had was each other. So everyone else isolated you.
The thing is kind of like our relationship and our quote unquote coming out or being outed and all that is kind of like tied together because we were outed and they forced us together, honestly. And that's kind of what started our relationship.
Okay.
So it's all kind of tied into one. So like,
and we're not together because we didn't have that. Like, we really do.
No, we do care and love,
each
other.
We're pretty, like, we balance each other pretty well because I'm.
Very much so.
Yeah, y'all, like, in sync. Y'all were, like, saying the same answers at the same time, at the same tone. I'm like.
And what's funny is that's kind of what people would say about us early on. Like, even when we worked at church in the office or whatever, they was like, y'all finish each other's sentences. Like, what's really going on? It's like, actually, we're just smart. Like, just the only, there's only one answer to this question. Like, so we both came up with the same answer. So it wasn't really that. But, yeah.
We lived recklessly after those years following that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can only imagine because if you've lived your life on the straight and narrow, as some people would consider it, mm-hmm. or what is viewed by the church as, you know, a good life, and all of a sudden they rip the rug from underneath you because it's like, this is your family. Exactly. Like you mm-hmm. said, it's been generations. These people are your family. These people you see every day.
They
you
know
work
us.
With them.
Right. And that was the one thing I said, y'all know us. Like, what the fuck? Like, y'all... Oh, I'm sorry. No banging.
Yeah.
Got intense. My bad, y'all. But I was like, y'all, like, I can't believe y'all doing this to us, basically, type thing. But it's like, after that, it was like, well, fuck it. Ain't no God. Ain't no nothing. I think, for me, I'll say, I think part of me was mainly, may have been trying to kill myself then. Like, living, like, I'm talking about all types of, like, drugs, alcohol.
Really?
Crazy sexual experiences. Like,
because you convince yourself, it's like, okay, so if they're right and all this is going on, then I'm going to die and go to hell. And
anyway.
I'm going to burn eternity. So I might as well do everything that I can now.
You took it to the extreme.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bring it on. I'm not afraid. And so you end up being reckless and you have some fun and you're living fearlessly, but for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
And you wake up like the next morning, like, what the fuck did I do?
Yeah. Right.
And you're scared and you're like, oh, crap. You know, and it's
like, we could finish off multiple fifths of alcohol just in the house.
Multiple
that.
Fifths?
Oh, yeah, we would drink,
and that would
like,
be the pregame.
I need to hang out with y'all.
Oh, no, that was years ago.
Oh, not no more? Oh, no. Not no more?
We had to stop that. You had to sober up, like, figuratively and literally.
Because you have to get your life together. It's like, okay, am I going to wallow in this and be depressed and be upset and this, that, the other? Or are we just going to accept what is? Like, I love you. You love me. God is love. Like, how can it be wrong to love somebody else? Like, I don't care what it is. How can it be wrong? Like, it just doesn't make sense. And for people to think that, you know, you choose this, nobody chooses this. Like, you know how many years both of us have talked about the things we've done to try to be straight. Like, you do everything they say. You pray, you cry, you fast, you roll around the floor. You do, you know, because we grew up very...
to be straight.
Yeah. And like, because we grew up in... I don't know if you're the denomination, apostolic or apostolic.
I've heard of it, but I don't know much about it.
So it's like Pentecostal. It's like holiness is right. So like, you know, women wear dresses, skirts to church only. You know, all no makeup, no this, no that. No listening to this music, no that music, all that stuff. Nobody's really living it that way, but that's what
they put
preach.
On that show every time they come
out. Yeah, so it's like you do all that and you're doing everything, try not to be gay or like, and it's impossible. It's like...
How can you not be who you are?
It's not a choice.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not a choice. I find myself having a few conversations with people who listen to the show, and I think they appreciate the gravity of the conversations that I have with people because I interview a wide range of people just to educate myself and then others about different lifestyles or different people, period. Mm-hmm. And I find myself... telling people this is not a choice.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, how can someone choose to be gay or bisexual or transgender? It's not a choice. Do you think someone will purposely choose to be ridiculed, to mm-hmm. be judged, to be pretty much isolated from family, from friends, from what they know as society?
Right.
Who wants to be depressed? Who wants to feel down? You know what I mean? Who wants to be in that
dark place?
Like,
you're taught something is wrong with you. Like, how can you be taught what you feel is wrong? Like, you feeling this, you're not supposed to feel that. I'm like, well, I'm not choosing to feel it.
Exactly.
You know, like,
it's happening.
It reminds me of a conversation I had with one of my aunts, and the thing was, you know, she and I were talking because I was not understanding, like, some of the breakdown in communication between me and my mom or whatever, and the route she went was by saying, well, Mike, you have to understand, you know, the lifestyle you chose.
Excuse me?
Exactly. And I had to stop. I was like, you know, what you had to understand, this was not a choice. And as like, and I broke everything you just said, I broke down to is like, I did not choose to do this. I did not choose to put myself through this hurt and pain. Like, why would I want to choose to feel like an outcast in the outside in my own family, my own bloodline? Like, I feel like you guys don't really care and love me because of this so-called choice that you think I made. It was not a choice. I said, if someone made a bad choice, it was my mother and my father, who shouldn't have been together anyway because my mother was the other woman.
Wow.
That's how I started out. So I didn't even have that foundation to start off with. They were never together.
Okay.
So we want to talk about choices.
Lifestyle. I hate when people say this lifestyle. I can't say my mother, she has come around. You know, she was never like, she was never like, oh, you're going to, when I said, you know, she told me, you know, you're going to go to burn hell for being gay. That happened when I was probably like 10 or 12. Basically,
what happened?
It's a funny story.
Wait, so they kind of had families had an idea at an earlier age.
Oh yeah, my dad knew. Yeah. Oh yeah, my dad. Well, my dad tells me I knew since you was two.
Why?
I was like, yeah, and that's why. And so he was really extremely hard and strict on me. Like, I could not blink the wrong way and not get punched out or whatever. You know,
I know you said he said he would break you.
Yeah, he told me, he said, my job is to break you, and that he did. Like at one point I was getting beat every day. And
what?
Then there's been issues, you know, cases when police come, like,
what?
ER, all that type of stuff. And of course, every time, if it wasn't me covering for him, it was my mom covering for him.
Just so, for no reason, though? Like,
no, he would always find a reason. Like, it was whether it was I did something. Like, one time he came home and I was using the microwave.
I knew it. The microwave story.
The microwave story, right? I wasn't supposed, he told, but we weren't allowed to use the microwave.
Okay.
I mean, because they, you know, this was back early 90s, so people still had their stigmas and like, don't use it if I'm not home, you know, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Mind you, I have been staying home by myself since I was 5 years old. So I'm 10, 12 years old and you mad because I'm using the microwave.
Right.
I think, so anyway, I knew I wasn't supposed to be using the microwave. He gets home early. Mind you, no matter what time he came home, I was always scared. But he comes home early, and I was like, my heart dropped to my stomach. So I was like, okay. And then, so I take it out. I take whatever I was heating up in the microwave. I put it out, throw it away in the trash. I do something, and I run. And then he comes home. He goes in the kitchen, and he comes back out. Did you use the microwave?
He probably smelled it.
Right. And of course, I said no. I was like, well, I'm going to say yes so I can get beat. Because his thing was, he'd always say, don't lie to me, don't ever lie to me. But if you tell him the truth, you still can get beat either way.
Right.
So I was like, well, I'm going to take my chance and lie. So I was like, no, I didn't. He said, you can be honest with me. You can be honest with me. And I said, okay, yes, I did. I couldn't even get the sentence out. I was on the floor. He was working construction at the time. But he was a minister at church at the same time. But he was beating me so bad, he ended up calling the police on himself.
What?
Yes. The police come to the house. Of course, I protect him. I say, oh, no, my father didn't do anything. The guy was like, you know, and your dad's a good guy. I just said, yeah, he didn't mean it. He just got angry.
What?
And I said, yes, I know.
This is the South.
I know. I was like, I understand. And he's like, well, let me look at you. And I was like, I'm good. You ain't got to look at me, you know. I was bleeding all of them. You know, I took the shirt off. Once they left, I took the shirt off. I was bleeding all down my back and everything.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, he went in. He had on his steel-toe boots from construction and everything. So my mother comes home. She gives me a lecture. So I'm thinking she knows everything that went on.
Right.
I didn't find out till like 2 years ago that she never knew any of this happened. She said, she came home and my father just said, you know, Tony got in trouble or whatever. Mason got in trouble. And that was it. But she didn't, so she came and gave me a lecture. But she said, I had no idea the police came to the house. I didn't know all that happened. There's a lot of stuff she didn't know it happened while she was gone.
Really?
But we're veering off track because that's not the story I was going to tell you.
No, I like the stories.
Okay,
now.
The story my mother told me was going to run out. I was 10 or 12. So what happened was, it was me and my sister and I have a lot of girl cousins.
Okay.
But I'm the oldest of all the cousins, grandkids. So we're playing outside. And remember, this was around the time when BET was like lit with good music and good music videos.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And remember when En Vogue came out with Giving Him Something?
Yep.
And that video. So we were outside in the backyard and we were going to reenact the video.
Okay.
And we had a table in the back. So I was like, I'm going to be the husband or the guy that sits in the table watching y'all. And I'm, you know, and there was one scene where the guy takes his ring off and puts it on the table. So I said, I'm going to do all that.
Yeah.
And then he was like, okay. And then they start performing. And I'm looking at, I said, y'all not doing it right.
So you showed them how to do it.
So I'm getting up and I was like, no, y'all need to be more like, and moving my hips and stuff. Next thing I know, I hear my father's voice. I turn around. He's looking out the window from the back of the house.
Oh, no.
And he is fuming. And I was like, oh, my God. was like, no, I'm not. And I was trying to explain to him, no, I'm not playing that role. He's like, why couldn't you be one of them? I said, I am, but they weren't doing it right. I was like, so I had to show them.
Right.
And I was, and it wasn't me being gay or wanting to be the girl part. I just wanted them to get it right. I'm very detail oriented when it comes to creative stuff and everything. Mm. So I'm a designer, so that's what I do.
Yeah.
So then he told my mom. My mom was like, you know, gay people burn in hell, right? And all this other stuff. I was like, whoa, how did it get from me just showing them how to do the steps right to me burning in hell for being gay?
Yeah.
And I'm only 10.
Wow.
I'm like, I know nothing about gay stuff. I don't even know what, I don't even have those, I didn't have those feelings.
Right.
Right.
And it's crazy because, you know, growing up, I get called sissy faggot, all that stuff. And I was like, I'm just being me. I don't even realize I'm being this way.
Right.
So that's when, like, high school came in. I started to be able to hide it more. And that's when I realized I was funny. I was really creative. So I would just use all that to deflect.
Like, okay.
I was a class clown.
Okay.
But I kept my grades up because my father was going to beat my ass if I didn't. So I was a class clown, and I would keep people laughing. And that's what kind of kept people off me. Like, they probably still noticed I was still a little sweet, like they would say down south, but they would overlook it because I was so hilarious.
So what are your relationships with your families now?
They're all over the place. So it's like, it's funny. I'll go since I just had another eye-opening conversation with my dad today.
Okay.
So, I start with him. My father has completely turned around, and he's in love with this guy over here.
Okay.
Like he met him one time, and what Mason did for my dad was took him to Bojangles and buy him a breakfast biscuit one day many years ago, and my father will never forget that.
Yep.
That's solidified. Sometimes I think he likes him more than he likes me.
Uh-oh.
But at the end of the day, that's so special because my father and I have had an up and down relationship. Growing up, he wasn't absent in the stereotypical sense. Like, I saw him on a regular basis.
Right.
You know, but because we both attended the same church, my mom, everybody. So he was present physically, but not mentally or emotionally.
Got it.
So I could never turn to my dad for things, you know. And again, he was married to my sister's mom and then eventually divorced her and got remarried and stuff. So there was a whole lot of stuff going on that I just was too young to understand. And he was, even himself, wasn't mature enough to understand what he needed, his role as a father.
Okay.
And it wasn't until, like, my granddad passed away that he kind of just had an eye-opening experience. And we talked. I've called him a couple nights, cussed him out. And, we finally at a place now where he understands. And, like, today he called me, and he was kind of emotional. And we talked about just a lot of life stuff. And we've never had that kind of open conversation before. So with that, it's good. You know, I appreciate that. My mom, totally different story.
Really?
I don't even know where to start with her.
She's an interesting person.
She's interesting because the dynamic with that is that's your mother.
Right.
And you're always going to love her.
Yes.
You always want to respect her. Like,
yes.
There's no, you can't take that love away. But it's sometimes like, I just don't like that
person.
You're
not always going to like her.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes you realize, I really don't like that
person. I
think I'm
going to put my hands on my mom. Right. Like, I can't believe that's
like,
to that point.
Right. It's like, if she was here right now, like, we were like, you want a hand clap and everything. It's like, yo, come here.
You
got to
square up.
Right.
Like,
it's like, the only thing that's saving you right now is you, my mother. So that's how the relationship is with, you know, my parents.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My youngest, I have a set of twins. They're 10 years younger than me. And my baby brother, that's 13 years younger than me. And
okay.
I have an older sister, my dad's other child, who's a year older than me. So we're all good.
Okay.
And like my dad's side of the family, like they're embracing, they love him. Like that's the side of my family that's actually here in New York that I'm connecting with now since we moved here.
Okay.
And so when they see him, and like one time they saw him at church because we'll still go out or whatever. And I'm the type of person, if I'm not feeling church, I will not go because I don't believe in it. I don't believe going in, faking it or whatever. So
I'm totally different because I'm like, well, honestly, that's the only way we're going to get to see our family.
Right.
At this point. So,
so you still go to church?
No, not like on a regular, like on, for big events.
Occasionally.
Or occasionally,
yeah.
I'll pop up. I'm like, well, my mom lives in Connecticut now.
Okay.
So if the church in New York is having something, she'd say, I'm coming down. I'd be like, okay, the least I can do is show up and sit beside her in church. Like, I don't know how long I'm going to have my mama. Like,
okay.
That type of thing. If that's all she wants, fine.
Right.
Like, so, like, well, that being said, my mom's very, it's good. It's good. I'll say it's as good as it's going to get. It's not bad or anything. It's just that I don't think she still understands.
Okay.
And she may not agree, but she tolerates it.
Okay.
And that's the best, like, I would take that over anything else. For, like, for instance, somebody came to her and was like, well, how do you feel about your son's lifestyle? And that pissed her off because she was like, what do you mean by lifestyle?
Right.
And she was like, I don't know what that means. She said, but it's, I'll say, she's like, I'll say this, you know, everybody has a different journey. I mean, I understand everybody's journey, but he has another journey, and he has his own journey, and I think it's because my mother can't say that I've ever given her any trouble. Like, okay. I'm not in jail. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm not living recklessly. I'm taking care of myself. I don't call with problems. You know, we are business owners. We work together. Like, she don't have to worry about us. Like, so I think that's that she has a peace of mind with me.
Right.
And she sees that I'm a good person. She knows I'm a good person. So that, so with her, it's like, you know, I talked to her a couple of days ago. Like, my mother's a different type of mother. She's like, Claire Huxtable. Actually, she is Claire Huxtable.
Yeah, that's a very good description.
She looks like her, talks like, I want to say looks like her. Mannerisms like her.
Okay.
Professional, like, has always had a executive role type thing. She does not play, but she does not do feelings.
Got it.
I'm a Cancer.
Okay.
We're very emotional. So so we clash there.
You all about the signs, because he was like, I'm getting the Taurus vibe from you.
I did, because I told you he was stubborn. But anyway, my father, we don't talk.
No, at all.
I talked to him a couple weeks ago via my cousin. My cousin called me because he was there, and he says, your dad wants to talk to you. And I was like, okay, that's nice.
Okay.
I was like, whatever he told you, believe him, because I don't, at this point, I don't care anymore.
Right.
So it's like, I'm not going to go back and forth with all of this. So, you know, I have this thing called an emotional budget, and I choose where to apply my emotion and the energy that entails that to.
An emotional budget.
Yeah, if I can't take it, I don't deal with it. Like, for instance, like somebody say, oh, your aunt is sick. I'm like, okay, not that I don't care,
right,
but I can't care. If that makes any sense, like I don't have it to give. Right. If I give that to her, then what's gonna happen when I have to deal with this over
right.
here? I'm not gonna have it. I'm gonna be drained. And then y'all gonna be fine, you know.
Yeah.
But
so like sometimes the best thing you can do is like, I love you. I'll send you some good spirits. Pray, like, you know, I'll pray for you, whatever.
Yeah.
But no, I can't invest anymore.
No, you don't pray for them. No.
Can I ask a question?
I'll send them something like a card that okay. shows that I am thinking of you, but I'm not going to waste my energy or prayers or anything like that. I'm not going to say waste. I don't want to use it for that.
So do you still believe in God?
Oh, that is an awesome question, because we talk about God and spirituality all the time.
Okay.
So we're at this place where we believe in a higher power.
Got it.
Right.
But there is no way that our human, earthly minds can comprehend whatever God is. Right. Like, it's impossible.
The magnitude of what,
I don't think it's a person. I don't think it's energy. It could be just energy.
Okay.
So
you're spiritual.
We're very spiritual. Like, honest. Okay. Like, go ahead.
No. Well, for me, I think God is whatever you make him or her or it out to be in your own life.
Okay.
You know, so if you are faithful to your church and everything, and you believe the traditional God, heaven and hell and all that, if you stick to those beliefs or whatever and that works for you, then that's great. I'm not going to knock it.
Right.
It doesn't work for me. My God is that, like I said, something, a higher spiritual being or whatever that, you know, and I believe everything is intertwined and connected in everything. So I feel like all the good things, like giving you good and positive energy right now, is pleasing my God.
Okay.
So to speak. Like, that's what I believe. So I think it's all about your belief system.
Yes.
I don't even like calling him God. I refer to him as the creator.
Got it.
Because they're like, well, for instance, the Bible says, thou shalt not have any other God before me. Is he admitting that there's other gods? So
right.
There might be other gods. Like, honestly, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here, but I don't even believe in all that.
Right.
Well, anyway,
right.
But I feel like, I think it is petty for us to think that God cares about sexuality or anything else. Like, I got to the point where I don't even like to say grace before I eat.
Really?
Because I feel like it is selfish of me or big-headed of me to think that God is
in his greatness
looking out for making sure I eat, but the people in Somalia aren't eating or wherever they are.
Like, God provided me this chicken on my
plate.
Why
me?
Yeah,
over
why
that?
Am I, like, right. So
I didn't do anything so
So
great.
Then I'm like, yeah. why is this God letting all this happen? And then I realized, for me, it's like, God ain't got shit to do with this. I don't think he's even worried about us. I think he's given us so much, and I think we have so much power that we don't mm-hmm. realize.
Yes.
That all we need to do is look within ourselves.
Yes.
So I don't say thank you, God, for this. What I will do all the time, I'll say gratitude. Like, almost hashtag gratitude.
Okay.
Like, so before I eat, I was like, whatever this is allowing me to eat, I really appreciate it.
Right.
I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm not going to sit here and think that I'm just so great that God's looking out for me and making sure I'm eating, but, you know,
no
the person
else.
Outside right. who's homeless isn't eating.
Right.
So all we can do is be good and do good and keep spreading as much positivity positivity and goodness to others. And that's
right.
We are gods. Like, that's how I see it. I feel like we're our own gods. So when I pray, I don't pray for things or please help me get this job or whatever. I pray when I've already looked within myself. I'm like, okay, what am I missing?
Right.
And I say, whatever is out there, Creator, please show me what I need to see.
It's almost like troubleshooting.
Yeah, that's all I do. Yeah. I don't want to worry God with my bull because there's other people who are way worse off than me.
Exactly.
I'm worrying him with everything I got.
And no, but I'm not telling other people not to pray and not saying don't do all that. That's just not what works for me. I was like, I go to church now and I sit back and I be like, these people are crazy. Like, that's really how I feel.
Are you still like a church every Sunday kind of?
No,
just special occasions, solely special occasions.
Special occasions. Right.
Okay, so I tell people, I tell people I'm spiritual. I'm not religious. I wasn't raised in a religious household. My mom and her siblings, they were raised religiously. And for some reason, they didn't raise their children to be religious. And we still haven't figured out why. I don't think they've had bad experiences or anything. But I tell people that I'm spiritual and I'm not religious. And I definitely had an encounter with someone who is like super religious. And she's a neighbor, and you know, I was new to the neighborhood. And she said, do you belong to a church? You need to come to my church. You don't go to church? Oh my gosh, why not? Why, you know? And I'm thinking in my head, you know, give people the chance and the choice to choose how it is that they want to pray or praise whoever or whatever it is that they pray to.
Right.
Don't try to make the decision for me or try to shame me. Just because I'm not going to church with you every Sunday. I think a lot of people, what they do, and I'm probably guilty of this too, and you know, everyone is human beings. We feel like what we're doing is right, and we try to project that onto other people.
Because it's working for us.
Yes, but what works for you may not work for the other person.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, and I'm not defending your family or any friends who may have not, who may have cut you off, but I feel like they're upset with the idea that they had of you.
Right.
They saw you grow up, and in their head, they had this idea that you were going to be married to a woman and you were going to have children. So now when you throw a monkey wrench into that, like, well, yeah, that's not what I want and that's not how I feel. Now it's like, oh, how dare you?
Right.
Right.
But it's like, I'm being me. You know, no one told you how to be you. I'm just trying to live life the way I feel best. I think it just kind of sucks the way church, and you know, I think today in the modern times, churches are more acceptable the LGBTQ community. But I think there are still a lot of religious people in churches that are like in historic times. Like you,
very much so.
It throws a monkey wrench in their whole belief system too.
It does.
When they see us like, wait a minute, but y'all are gay, but y'all together, but y'all seem like good people.
Right.
I don't understand. Like,
so it's like, it's a good person if I'm hanging out with someone from the opposite sex. But
as long
as
I can do whatever I want else, you know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But then it's bad if you're hanging out with somebody from the opposite sex, and now you're having premarital sex, and then now you're a bad person. So it's like, you can't pick and choose.
Exactly.
What it is that you want to define as a sin. I feel like no sin is greater than any other.
That reminds me of a conversation I just had with my brother, but something we talk about all the time, like kind of just the basis of the Bible itself, about that whole picking and choosing.
Yes.
Or who was it, like Constantine, who actually got everyone together to actually decide what was going to be and what we know as the Bible.
Right.
There was a whole lot of picking and choosing to decide what they wanted to do to control the people.
See?
And that's when we realized, wait a minute, the Bible the word is just a book.
Right.
Yes.
It's
the most popular book ever.
Yes. You know what?
I'm not saying there's no good in it. Right. I'm just saying it's just a book.
I mean, of course, there are good things in it, but you have to understand it's an interpretation of someone, you know
exactly.
what I mean?
Exactly.
So and you can interpret, you can have 100 people read the same sentence and each person interprets it
in a different way.
Right. You know what I mean? So for one person, and I'm not taking anything away from churches and I'm not taking anything away from preachers and pastors and priests, you know, just to have this one person tell you that this is how you should be living your life based off of their interpretation of the book, to me, is something I will never understand.
Right. There is one thing I'll say before, so people won't get it misconstrued. I still support, you know, churches and the idea of church. And this is the reason why I will never knock church, because for hundreds and hundreds of years, for our people, that was all we had.
Exactly. Yes.
So I would never knock what got them over. Like, I don't know what it's like to be a black man living in Mississippi in the 1800s, 1900s, whatever, but they would go to church and that would help them, their faith. So I would never knock church. I would never disrespect it or anything like that. I'm just saying it's not for me.
It's not for you.
And the thing is, honestly, I feel like I don't need church. Like, church can be whatever it is you want it to be.
Yes.
So honestly, like, whatever brings you to a place where you're joyous and you're happy and you're grateful and you're giving thanks to whatever.
True peace.
Like, that's church.
That's,
like,
church.
And so, like, for the Bible says, you know, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be. He's referring to God, you know. And honestly, I feel like all that is just energy. When two or three people get together and have the same energy or whatever, and, like, you can go to, let's say you go to a club or a party and you hear a song come on and you're like, oh my God,
that's
it's my
church?
Song.
Right. That's a spiritual experience.
Like, that's a spiritual experience. When you
what?
Yes.
The turn up is a spiritual.
Yeah, think about the feeling you get.
Wow.
That euphoria you get when you're with people you love.
I don't want to think about the turn up being a spirit because I'm probably twerking during the turn up.
But guess what? It's your body. It's natural. You twerking what God gave you, what the credit gave you. You do the same thing in church. You're just doing it a different way.
It's
when
a different
they shout
spirit.
Fall out, it's a different. But it's like.
Yeah, it's.
I got another question too. Go ahead and finish. I want to know, what's the deal with the fallout? Because now I feel like online they have all these videos of people falling out.
Oh, you're talking about when the preacher come and lay hands and
they
fall out?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, is that real?
Our church wasn't really like that. We
okay.
didn't lay hands, so I
all
can't
right.
say.
Okay.
We danced, you know, shouted or whatever, but there wasn't.
Speaking tongue, all that.
When
you
we
speak in tongues?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you experienced speaking mm-hmm. in tongues? What is it?
Okay,
like,
so
is it a feeling?
So yeah, so basically, okay, so for me, so the way we grow up, you know, you have to get the Holy Ghost, but they have revivals and they call it tarrying or whatever or praying, and so you get down on your knees and you pray and you call on God, you call on the Lord, you do all that stuff all night long until you've received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and it's you do feel something different. I'm not going to sit here and say I ain't never felt the Spirit of God or nothing like. No, I'm not going to say that, but I still. I guess me being older and wiser and reading more,
right.
I do feel like it has something to do with energy and your chemical levels in your brain, all that stuff, all of that. But I do think it is a different experience on another level.
Okay.
And I can't explain it.
Okay.
But we were always taught you have to be born again, you have to get the Holy Ghost. And my mother would always tell me, you know, when you turn 12, you lie before your sins.
Right.
I'm like, really, Ma? So I was 12. They had a revival. I was like, let me go ahead and get this over with. And that was literally my approach to it. I was like, I don't want to do this, but if this is what I have to do, okay, fine. And then I didn't feel that presence or that spirit until I got to the point where I'm tired of being down here calling on God. God, give it to me. And it was like, I did feel something different.
Okay.
And your tongue does let loose.
Really?
And I can't explain it. It's the Holy Ghost, what they call it. You know,
it's like, you know what?
And I'm not, and you can see it. And she can tell you I'm not some crazy person off the street saying
right.
Jesus Christ is coming back.
I can't vouch for you. Right there. we ain't that cool yet.
But I'm not one of them crazy Christians. But the fact that I'm even saying this and with beliefs of God I have, I do feel like it's something real. But at the same time, I think that science, religion, math, all that stuff is connected. So I
yes.
do think there is an explanation for it.
Yeah,
but you can't really explain it.
Right.
Insanity.
It's like
is
being
that
completely...
the point you, like, just give up? Like,
right. It's like anything you really focus on. Like, because for me, it's like, you know, you were told or taught that you didn't really feel anything. I was down there seeking and stuff, too, when I was, like, 11, 12 years old. And I got tired. I was like, well, yeah, I'm done. And so it was just this older saint. And she looked at me. She said, you're not done. Get back down there. You're not done yet. Like, so I get back down there. Whatever. I was like, so I'm not going to be done until you hear me speak in tongues. And I'm like, but I don't know how to do this. So if you focus on it, and it's like, okay. And truly it is. Like, you focus on it, and you meditate, and you pray on it. And then you really just let go. You let loose of all your inhibitions. It's like, okay, whatever's going to happen to me, please just let it happen now. I am ready.
I'm surrendering
really?
To you, God.
I fully surrender. And
so, but can...
Yeah.
How they know somebody fake it or not?
Well, you don't.
You don't really know.
You don't
that's,
know.
You, yeah, you don't know. Like,
okay.
I'm not gonna, that's why yeah. that's why I would say if I had never experienced, I wouldn't sit here and say I have.
Okay. Right.
But
I just think it's, again, I was not raised in a super religious mm-hmm. household. So, and as a young person, I did go to church with, like, a best friend of mine. She was a neighbor. And, you know, she would go to church. So I would go to church with her. But I've never really experienced the speaking in tongues. And these are things that that I see on TV or like social media or something. I haven't experienced it firsthand, which is why I have so many questions. But wow.
If you were born and raised, it wouldn't be, of course, it wouldn't seem odd or taboo to you.
Foreign to you.
But that's, if that's all you know, like from an infant, like you go to church. First of all, you're not going to church just on Sunday. You're going to church throughout the week. You're participating in all this other stuff. So you see people shouting all this stuff all the time, and you're taught to be in the spirit world or think spiritually. Better term. Say. Think spiritually. Don't think out of the, think outside the flesh. All that stuff. Like everything is spiritual. You know, God is watching you like all the time.
At all times.
You have to live a spiritual life. And
my grandmother taught me this a lot, and it was one thing. It bothered me so, and she kind of apologized for it before she passed away, but it was, you know, God will punish you for having impure thoughts. You can't even think the wrong thing.
You can even dream dirty thoughts. You even have an impure dream.
But you're not controlling, you're not in control of your dreams.
Exactly, but that doesn't matter.
Wow.
Apparently you've done something wrong.
Apparently it's a desire that you shouldn't have.
Like your subconscious mind talking to you. Wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced any, as a couple, any like negative situations from public, like being together? Because here's the thing. I feel like people project their beliefs on other people. So being Black in America right now is probably not, well, was it ever the best thing to be?
Exactly,
probably
right? Right.
And then you're a Black man in America, which is definitely not the best thing to be right now with everything that's happening in the news. But then now you are two Black gay males in America walking down the street. Do you ever get any like negative comments or anything from people?
For the most part, no.
Not for being gay.
Okay.
Yeah, not for, and I,
for being Black?
Here's the thing with the whole, okay, I'll start with the Black thing.
Okay.
But the Black thing for us is, it may be not that big of a deal because we grew up down south.
Right.
So we were always taught to recognize racism or anyone racist. I can spot a racist person when they came in the room and they started talking. I can already tell if they're going to be racist or not.
Wow.
And because you grew up down south, that's just how it was. So you didn't have any other choice or option but to deal with it.
Right.
So I had racist teachers. I had to just work harder than everybody else. Like, I didn't have a choice. My father didn't want to hear it. Like, they didn't get my hat. I've had racist principals. I had racist employers.
As a Black man in the South, you're taught to be the best at everything you do.
You just have to be the best. Because
there was no choice.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you dropped out of every class you had because the teacher was racist or quit every job you had because your employer was racist or your coworkers, you wouldn't be able to survive.
Right.
So we moved up to D.C. and come up here to New York. We can spot it. It may be it's a different type of racism, we know how to deal with it. Like, unlike some, we've met other people same age as us. As soon as they face racism, they want to just start going off. I'm not saying they're not valid in their feelings, but it's like, it's not always the best thing. It's maybe more trouble than it's what it's worth. I hate to say that.
Yeah.
We're not the marchers on down this. We're not the type of person to be marching and stuff like that. We feel like we want to make change different in other ways.
For like a one-on-one thing. Like if we're going to change somebody's opinion or belief on one, it's going to be in a one-on-one conversation. Like, we're going to
And then that person goes and tells their friends, their family.
Right. Because that's the best way for us to get our point across.
Right. I feel like the screaming, the shouting, the whatever, the carrying on, I feel like you're validating their feelings about you.
Right. I'm like, we're types like, get them for their money. <It's> like, that's, you know, or whatever. Or like the fact that we are business owners is probably because of the racism we face with other employers.
Okay.
So it was like, I don't like working for people who don't like me.
Right.
I don't like my life being dictated by somebody else. Like, for a long time, I worked as a construction project manager, and I didn't know if I had a job once the project was done. Because my company may not have a project on schedule for them.
Right.
So I have to find another job or find another project. I hate that. Or I don't like, you know, being laid off at the last, you know, without any warning. I just hate it. I don't like this. I want to be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it, how I want to do it.
Right.
So. That's how we...
Yeah, and for me, it's like my past work, retail. I've worked retail like half my life. And one thing that dynamic that I realized, I worked for a major retailer here in New York.
Okay.
On 34th Street. And
don't say the name.
Right,
I don't want to be...
Right, yeah, I narrowed it down. But I was an executive there.
Okay.
And one thing that comes to mind, we had this, you know, big executive meeting, you know, all the big wigs are there, and you're talking about major things, major changes to that particular, you know, establishment. And one of the people looked at me and was like, oh, you know what? Get Mike to answer all that, or he can handle that because he's black and gay. So he can give both perspectives.
First of all.
Right. I'm like, hold up. And here's the thing. What pissed me off, they didn't say my name. They're like, oh, yeah, no, that manager over there from that department, you know, the black gay one. That's what they said. But that's retail. Retail, they see their employees as numbers, as, you know, or placeholders or whatever.
And
you're not individuals.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, I'm so much more than that. And the fact that that's all you know me about when I'm so open about who I am. Like, sometimes Tony would be, Mason would be surprised about how open I would be with people at work and stuff. It's like, you told him that? You said that? I'm like, yeah, I mean, what they gonna do?
All right, so he look, you gonna get Trish lesson one-on-one. These people not your friends.
Right, right. Oh, right, exactly.
I have to say, listen, there is a work Trish, and then there is a happy hour Trish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Me behind this mic and me outside of work, that's happy hour Trish.
Yeah.
Me at work, that's work Trish. Mm-hmm. We are two completely different people. You could call me crazy if you want.
Nah.
But no,
you know, I got two completely different personalities. Again, because people will take certain liberties with you once you start to let your guard down.
Exactly. Right.
So we have to be careful. And that's anyone. Just be careful about how you present yourself in the workplace.
Right.
Because some people would be, you know, they'll look at you and be, you'll think, oh, they're super cool. And then they turn around and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, that's what we faced. Like, we've
firsthand.
We've been backstabbed so many times by employers and stuff. And that's why I was like, I'm not doing it no more. I said, right. I'd rather be here eating a peanut butter jelly sandwich every day for however long if I have to, not to have to answer anybody else.
Right.
If that's what it's going to be, that's what it's going
to
be.
You got to answer to yourself. Be your own
right.
boss.
Right.
Exactly.
All yeah. right.
Oh, I'm sorry. But as far as being discriminated against or whatever, as far as being gay, no, we don't, because most people think we're either brothers or friends.
Oh.
yeah,
and we look
too.
Nothing alike, but people would stop us all the time and be like, are you twins? And we'd be like, nah. Are y'all brothers? No. Are y'all cousins or related?
No.
And then, but it's funny, you know that meme from that show 4 with P. Diddy and that contestant where they stare back and forth at each other?
Uh-huh.
That's what happens, because I'm like, I'm not offering up any information. I don't know you. So I don't know what you go, how you going to respond.
I don't know what you got in your pocket.
So, but we don't look anything alike. I think it's just because we spent so much time together, and there is a research study that shows, like, the person you spend the most time with, you start looking like
you
them because you start doing their same facial expressions and start saying the same
thing. I thought they said that about pets. They say that about humans too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The people you hang out with most, you start doing the same inflections and you talk the same and the same facial expressions.
Look
and
at older couples who have actually been married together for a long time, like old, you know, straight couples or whatever. They start to favor each other, like at the end, not just because they're old. It's like, wow, like they've been together for so long. It's like you can tell they belong together.
They just start to look
right.
like each other.
Right.
But we get brothers, and they don't think we're brothers. They think we're friends, and so they don't really. And I guess because we're not really sashaying down.
Right.
The
last thing people assume about us is that we're actually together. That is almost always a surprise.
Unless those times, okay, in the summertime, no, we will.
Oh, yeah,
put
no.
on less clothes.
I will put
and
on
it
the
is obvious.
That coochie
No, you got these pair of pants. Like, they were supposed to be my pair of pants, but then one day he wanted to wear them.
Right.
Because
I'm a little bit thicker, so they just.
He said, I'm thicker than a Snicker with the so coochie.
Must be jelly because jam don't shake.
Wait, what? Say that. Let me catch up.
I said, must be jelly because
jam don't shake.
Ooh. You not out here with the coochie cutters and the booty shorts in the summertime.
He is.
You are?
Yeah.
Right. He don't like the type, does he? He don't like the type,
no,
does he?
No! I thought it'd be you!
I'm more conservative. People don't think... That's the crazy thing. People always get us...
They
know us. Like, okay, yeah, I am the more assertive one and the one that will speak more or whatever like that, but... When it comes to, like, not giving a fuck about anything, that's Mike.
Mike got zero fucks to give.
I am very concerned about what other people think.
If he would let me, I'd go out there in my underwear and a tank top.
No, you not.
Yes, I would.
At the beach, maybe?
Like, we've been to new beaches or whatever. He's been the first one to get naked.
For real?
Mm-hmm. And
wait, where y'all going on vacation this year? Because I'm really trying to hang out with y'all.
You sure you're ready? You need to have an open mind.
Right.
That's all you need.
I have an open... Well, all right, wait.
I know, right? That's a big statement.
I think I have an open mind. I'm just a little
limitations.
More conservative than maybe most others. I don't know. I think I'm a little more conservative than maybe people my age.
And the older we get, we're toning down too. Like, I mean, we've experienced a lot or whatever. It's like, the thing is, we just don't care. So if there's something we want to do and we feel comfortable, then we're just going to do
it. Just do it.
Right.
You only live once.
We're not seeking, like, we're not trying to be, you know, doing the hottest party or doing the most, whatever.
Oh, like, yeah, we rarely go out and, like, yeah, we don't, like, we know? Honestly, we're in the home watching TV because we get home late, because we work, like, all the time. Even when we're home, we're working because it's just, like, we
it's
have
just
to.
Us.
It never shuts off.
Right. So, we're doing that, smoking.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. We don't drink as much because we don't do good with liquor anymore. Well, I come from a family of alcoholics and stuff like that.
Okay.
And the traits started kicking in.
You got to be careful.
So I had, so I literally just stopped. I was like, I'm not doing no more. I was like, no, because I do not. I'm not. I don't need to hit rock bottom to get the picture.
I don't need to be
like,
there.
I've been through enough as it is just being a black gay man. I can't imagine being a black gay unemployed alcoholic out of work, homeless, and all this other shit.
Damn,
so,
all of that.
Right? That's what alcoholism kills lives.
He done took everything. He took it from alcoholic to homeless. Damn.
Right.
I've had experience with people who've lost everything because of alcohol. Like,
because of alcohol.
What? Well, damn. Because of
more than alcohol.
My dad.
Oh, wow.
We've lost everything. Like, my parents aren't even married anymore.
Wow.
So, after 33 years.
Wow.
Yeah. It's no one knows what we're going through. Like, and because we're such a family that we're very private. Like,
yeah.
I'm, as much as I want to go on Facebook and rant and go off, I don't, like some people do. And I'm as much as I want to go off on my father and bash him, I don't.
Okay.
So, it's like, despite what he's put us through and what is still putting us through,
did you just say that through clenched teeth?
Yeah.
As of like literally like 2 days ago.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
And this is somebody I don't even fool with.
Damn.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our lives are interesting.
I see.
Like, when people come, it's so funny because people come to us and talk, they say, oh my God, you guys have been through so much, you have so much wisdom, where did you come from? I was like, life
experiences.
And you, like, we don't run to people for help. Like, I don't run to my parents for help or depend on people. Like, we figure shit out.
Figure it out on your
and
own.
And we have, there's so many of these younger gay people, gay guys or gay people in general that come to us and they'll talk to us and we'll talk to them and they'll talk about their problems and all this other stuff. And we're like, as they're going on, we're still waiting for the plot.
Right. We're still waiting for the problem.
Look, we're waiting for the problem.
They like, didn't already gave you the whole.
Right. And I'm like, oh, I was like, that's it. And they were like,
and I was like, yeah, oh my God, I'm so devastated. I'm like, I'm sorry, but what was the problem? Did I miss it?
Right.
I was like, this is not a problem. I was like, you know, we've had people come to us about their parents. You know, they've complained about their parents and they say this and that, the other, and I'm like, that's it. And I'm like, and they're like, yeah. I was like, let me tell you hard times.
Right. let me tell you a little something about life.
Right. It's like one guy got mad because his dad slapped him. I was like, that's it. You got away with a slap. Because he told me
the stunt
he
would do that to me.
He told me the stunt he pulled. Like, not saying it was necessarily wrong.
This a grown man got slapped by his dad?
No. Oh. He was telling us a story when he was in like high school.
Okay.
And he said he disobeyed his parents, did something, whatever. It was relating to his sexuality and everything.
Okay.
But he straight up did something that his dad,
that he knew his dad was gonna go off about.
Right.
And I'm not saying
that's like you with the microwave.
Right.
So did you tell him the microwave story?
No, I didn't tell. No, that wasn't a gay story. That was me just being disobedient, but getting my
no. But I'm saying he
killed.
Got slapped. I'd have been like, listen, you talk about a slap.
Oh, right. I was like, I've had broken bones and stuff. Like, come
shit?
On, now.
What?
Like, mm-hmm. Oh, yes. So I'm like, you want to talk to me? I was like, I would have taken that over what you did because. Again, I'm not. It's not. I get he wanted to express his sexuality or who he was as a person. I'm not even gonna say sexuality, but it was kind of low key disrespectful because you're still living in your parents' house,
right?
And that's the point we were making,
right? And it's like it's like sometimes you got it. You do have to do what you're told, like,
right?
For lack of a better way of putting it.
Because like even with us, like okay, you know, hell, we've had roommates and we set boundaries on. It's like okay, you're a roommate, you're a grown person, but this is still a house we're sharing.
Absolutely.
So there's a respect mm-hmm. level you have to follow. Like,
absolutely.
I'm not your parent. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to tell you what you're not going to do in this house. And so respect that.
It's about being mindful of the people around you and your environment.
So,
like, you, as human beings, we want people to respect our boundaries, but we also have to respect other people's boundaries.
Exactly.
But as a child, I don't think they really, you know, as young kids, your mind is still developing and they may not get it then, but as an adult, I hope he get it now while his father slapped the shit out of him, whatever he did.
Yeah.
Hope so.
The one thing I do, I was like, I still have love for both of my parents, like, because I wouldn't be who I was today if it wasn't for
if it
them.
Weren't for them.
Yeah, like, my father, aside from those things, he was extremely intelligent.
Yeah, great guy.
Very charming, extremely handsome. Yeah, all that's like, he's like a really, really just great guy.
Yeah.
And he's instilled so much in me about being a black man.
Okay.
In America. And telling me I have to be the best, you can't afford to make mistakes, this, that, the other. And just said, you know, be prepared to work hard all the time and don't ever stop learning. His whole thing is like when what do you say? When growth ends, decay begins. He always says that.
Really?
He always says
when
that.
When growth ends, decay begins. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Very intelligent.
Like there's so much. There's a wealth of knowledge there.
Oh, he always provided. He had his moments. I'll say that they were just quite a few of them. They were extreme, but he had a good heart. I'm always trying to see the good in people. I'll say that.
I mean, and it's your parents. Yes, you don't want to think bad.
I fucking love him to death. He doesn't realize how much I love that nigga to death. Like he's hilarious
nah,
too.
Yeah, funny.
He's the reason. Like I have a whole 70s playlist. Like house music, disco music, any R&B from the 70s. Because he would sing. He loved 70s music, and every song he knew, he would sing. Mm. So I love him. We just have a lot of differences and issues.
Right.
I mean, hopefully it'll work itself out, or you at least get to a place with him that you can at least have a conversation, or, you know, not through someone, but actually, mm-hmm. you know, he's comfortable enough to pick up the phone and call you, or you're comfortable enough to pick up the phone and call him. What's some advice that you would give someone who may be in a similar situation as you have been, someone who is gay or lesbian or transgender, you know, that is a part of a religious family and they're afraid or of coming out or afraid of being outed? What advice would you give them?
I don't have anything. I'll say this.
I'm done. I don't even know.
Honestly, I don't know. Because I still struggle with that whole
thing. Because there's almost nothing you can do. Because it actually transcends the whole gay thing. And I'll say why. Because my baby brother, he's not gay. He's straight. As far as we know. I mean, he says he is.
He better not be.
Right. I mean, this
Your
is too much.
Your mama can't take it.
Right. Because the other brother, we've lost him. But anyway. but no, this particular brother, he wants to go into the military, my baby brother. And he is catching hell right now. Almost similar to the hell that I caught with my family.
For wanting to go to the military.
For wanting to go into the military.
Wow.
Like, they're ridiculing him. Like, no, you won't be protected and you won't be loved. Basically saying you won't be loved and accepted in this church or your family because you're going into the military, because that's
you're
we don't believe that,
that. Over,
you're
right.
choosing to fight for man instead of fight for God, that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So that's why I say it transcends the whole gay thing. What
yeah.
I told him is at the end of the day, you know, mama is mama, we love her, and you have to respect that she gave us life.
Right.
And that's just about where it ends. Respect her, but make your own decisions.
Yes.
And that's all I can tell anyone. Give respect. You're living in that household, whatever. Love your family. Respect them to the very best you can, because that's the only. I feel like that's the only thing that's required is some level of respect.
Yeah.
But beyond that, do what you have to do for your life.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, when you die, we're putting you in that box alone.
True.
You know, it's just you. So live your life. And that's as far as him and anyone else. Like, if I do hear someone of that story, you know, being a manager, I've heard so many horrible stories with both parents and children. Like, come to me with they're just like some parents don't understand. Their children being gay, and they was like, can you help me understand what he's going through? I'm like, no, I can't. Just love them.
Right.
And then on the flip side, just like, your parents may not understand, just respect them. That's yeah. all I can say. That's the only bit of advice, and it's not going to be helpful sometimes. It's still going to hurt.
I have one.
But I'm sorry.
No, it's to piggyback off of you. Basically, I would say, okay, to whoever's listening to this, nothing's wrong with you.
Right.
Point blank period. Nothing's wrong. You're not evil. You're not weird. If anything, you're gifted and you're blessed beyond anything. Like, look at every gay person you love. Look at the gay community as a whole. Like, we're very creative. We're very smart, intelligent, talented, and that's because you're special. Like, the fact that you are a man and you can see the beauty in another man, that is something. Not everybody has. And that means you can think outside the box. That means that was given to you. You were given something, and whoever gave it to you, whatever gave it to you, wants you to use it. And that's how you're going to succeed. And that's the best way you can praise God or be creative. And I say do it as soon as possible. Don't dwell on why am I this way? Why am I the way? The sooner you do it, the sooner you realize who you are and accept it, the happier you will be. I can't stress that enough, because I look back now, I'm like, man, if I had just accepted who I was, I could be this, I could be here, I could
yeah.
be that. Like, I was so fucking creative growing up, and everything I wanted to do, you know, my dad was like, nah, you can't do that. Like, I wanted to take piano lessons, I wanted to tap dance, I wanted to be, my mother tried to get me into acting, theaters and stuff like that, and my father was like, oh, nah. And I learned later on is because he didn't want me to. He thought I was gonna, he was gonna make me gay.
Wow,
nigga, I was already gay.
So, wait, I wasn't expecting that.
So it's like that's not what it's not gonna. I just say be you, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
As like as again he said, if you're young and you're still living in your parents' household or whatever, do it as long as you can. Do it to be remain respectful, or whatever. But when you get out, you know, don't lose your mind. You know,
right.
don't
be
don't,
safe.
Don't live on the edge. But right. I'm just safe. Saying, like, yeah. be open minded. Go out and explore. Try new things and accept who you are. And you will learn so much about yourself, and you will feel so much happiness and love and joy, and you will be able to see more positivity and happiness in the world. It is a huge difference when you love yourself. I can't express that enough. Like once you really love yourself and be like, you know what, I'm a G. You know, I'm the bomb. I'm the bomb. Exactly.
I'm the shit.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I'm so, not the toot my own horn.
Right. Like you have to go because nobody else is going to tell you. Like they'll look at you and they'll may whisper. They may whisper or they'll say little things on the slide. But you need to know for yourself that you are everything and more.
I'm gonna tell. You guys, I'm going to say it again based off of the last episode that I did with Danielle and Elisa. They said, walk like your pussy feel good. So I'm going to need y'all to act like y'all feel good. You know what I mean? Well, I'm like, shit, I've been walking through life wrong to my whole life.
No, yeah, like, it's like you said, you just really just be free and be who you are. That's it. I always say be free.
Just be you.
Be free. Like that freedom and all that. I can't explain it. I can't describe it. But once you get to that level, to that point,
you'll know it.
You'll know it, and you'll feel, see, and experience a difference in your life. Like, and you have to. There's something my sister did teach me. My sister and I are close. Like, she's accepting me. Like, you know, she has a son, nephew. She loves me. She loves that I'm, and you know, she wants him to know me and all this stuff. So he's not like, well, you got a gay uncle. So no, like, she's not like that at all.
Right.
But. She's a Libra like you.
What
so
that mean?
She's a realist, and
I'm a realist.
I know. She said she's a Libra like you. She's a realist. Like, okay. And so she tells me, Tony. She's like, Mason, you got to accept things the way they are. She's like, you may not ever have this type of relationship with our parents. It may not be this way. It may not ever get to that point.
Right.
So you have to accept it. Once you accept it, you can deal with it and move on. I'm like, well, that's my reality. It doesn't have to affect my life.
Right.
So. Yeah, just be accept whatever. If your parents are this way or anybody's that way and they're treating you a certain way, they may come around, they may not, but guess what? That does not have a bearing on you and your life.
You can't live your life waiting for other people to accept you.
Exactly.
Just accept who you are.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Mike and Mason. You
Thank
shared
you.
A lot.
Thank you.
Let me tell you.
We did.
I really wasn't expecting.
Oh wow.
Oh, that was like just a little bit too.
Right. Ooh, damn. Right. Wait, oh damn. Wait, it might be a part three, y'all.
But the series is joint.
I feel like, you know, you're brave to come and share your experiences and your life and the shit that's happened to you.
There was a time we wouldn't have.
I can only imagine. I've never experienced what you've experienced.
Wow.
And some of the listeners may not have, but I hope the takeaway from this episode would be to understand that people are trying to live their lives for themselves and not for you. Don't project your beliefs mm-hmm. onto other people,
right.
Because they're not living for you. They don't want to be you. They want to be themselves. And
yeah.
Let's be all about positivity and self-love.
Absolutely. Gratitude.
Yes.
Gratitude. Gratitude. Less,
that's what I say to calm me down.
Less attitude. Thanks for listening.